Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. There's a movie called Silence. It's directed by Martin Scorsese. It came out several years ago, and it's based on a novel of the same title written by a guy named Shusaku Endo in 1966. This book and the movie is about two Jesuit priests who go to Japan in search of their teacher, another priest, who has been lost to them. There's a rumor that they found out that this priest has given up the faith. After 14 years of being a missionary in Japan, through all of the suffering going on there, that he's finally apostatized, which means to give up the faith. During this time period in the 17th century in Japan, they had made Christianity illegal. They had banned it. They were not kind to Christians. They were trying to build a national identity, which was part of the reason, and Christians and missionaries just made that a lot more difficult. In fact, in the second half of the movie, there's a Japanese authority, the one they call the Inquisitor, that's in charge of squashing Christianity, and he explains that they see it as a cancer in their country that cannot be tolerated at all. So apostasy, like I said, means to abandon one's faith. And the way that the Japanese people were asked to renounce their faith was to step on a picture of Jesus. This was called a fumi. It was like made of wood or metal, and it just had a picture of him on it. But they would be asked to do this every year in every village to prove that they were not Christian. Now, in order to understand why this even mattered so much, you've got to step into the mindset of a Japanese Catholic Christian at the time. They were raised in the faith to worship God using a lot of different images, especially of Jesus and of the Virgin Mary. And these images became so important in the culture that to worship that they began to believe, in a sense, that God was actually in the image. Like there was a part of him. It was a connection to the divine. So to step on a picture of Jesus with your gross, muddy foot or whatever was actually like stepping on Jesus himself and dishonoring him. And a lot of Japanese Christians just were not willing to do that. In fact, thousands of Japanese people actually were killed during this time because so many were unwilling to step on a fumi on this picture and therefore renounce their faith. Before Japan made Christianity illegal, it's estimated that there were around 500,000 Christians living in the country. But by the time it was unbanned in 1873, there were only 20,000 Christians that came out of hiding at that time. Because the fear of death and of torture, and especially, was enough to keep many Japanese people away from the religion entirely. So the movie depicts these Japanese Christians, a lot of them, refusing to step on this fumi, and therefore being tortured. However, the goal was not to kill them, okay? It was to make an example of them, usually. In fact, they would often have doctors on hand at the torture sites to make sure that if someone was getting close to death, that they nursed them back to health so they would experience more pain. Why were these Japanese Christians willing to undergo so much suffering? Well, it says so right in the Bible, I think. At least you can read it that way. 1 Timothy, "For God, the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel." I can see how that could be read this way. Why should I allow myself to be tortured? St. Paul said, "Join me in suffering for the gospel." Or what about this passage from Mark chapter 8? "If anyone would come after me," Jesus says, "he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." What would you do you think, if someone came up to you and asked you to renounce your faith, reject your faith in Jesus, or else be tortured and die? Now, I would hope that I would choose that death, that suffering, over renouncing my faith. And that's how a lot of those Japanese Christians felt as well. So one of the main characters in this movie, Silence in Real Life, the priest Father Rodriguez, he is captured. And in the second half of the movie, the authorities are trying to make him give up his faith because they recognize if they can get one priest to do it, it's going to take the place of hundreds of just normal, regular Japanese people. However, he is more than willing to suffer and die. And the thing is, the authorities know it. So they don't torture him at all. They know that that's exactly what he wants. At least they don't torture him physically. They make him witness other people being tortured. Torturing the people that have been converted to Christianity, the people that he has been serving over and over and over again. They recognize that if they kill this priest, they are not only encouraging other people to follow in his footsteps, they're going to make him a martyr. And as he mentions in the movie, the church grows from the blood of martyrs. However, they do understand that one of Jesus' main teachings was to love other people. So, therefore, how could this priest live with himself, watching the suffering of others day after day after day, just because he won't renounce his faith and step on this picture? It was a catch-22. Father Rodriguez prays constantly throughout this movie that God would alleviate the suffering of those being tortured on his behalf. But there is only silence, which is where the movie gets its title. So like I said previously, if someone came up to me and told me they were going to shoot me in the head if I didn't renounce Jesus, I'd hope that I would have the courage to be able to stand there and watch, you know, face my death knowing that God was going to save me. I would not reject my faith. I would hope I would not reject my faith. However, what if they instead put the gun up to my wife or my kids? How would I feel then? What if they forced me to watch my family, my children, even you? In my congregation, what if they said they were going to torture you mercilessly for days, for weeks, just because I was unwilling to renounce my faith, or in this case, you know, step on a picture of Jesus? The question this movie presents is, which is more important to God, our faithfulness or our love for one another? Which is more important? James chapter 2 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has not deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So would Jesus be pleased with me if I allowed one of my children to be tortured and be killed just so that I could say I didn't renounce my faith? I don't know. Wouldn't that be a matter of pride at some level rather than a matter of love? In the movie, Father Rodriguez must face the fact that others are suffering and he is able to stop it, but he's just unwilling to act. There's one person that says, your glory comes at the cost of their suffering. So what would Jesus do, then I wonder? What did Jesus do? I mean, he was crucified and died for us, even though others believe the fact that he was being crucified proved that God had rejected him, that he couldn't be the Messiah because he was dying on a piece of wood, on a cross. And yet he did it out of love and out of service for other people. So the priest, Father Rodriguez, he finds his teacher, this guy who was said to have apostatized, given up the faith. And indeed, this guy had. And they argue about what is the right course of action. Because this other guy, he had been in the exact same position years earlier, watching five people suffer for the pride of his faith. And he asks, "Do you have the right to make them suffer? I heard the cries of suffering from this same cell, and I acted." To step on Jesus, he argues, is the greatest act of love that could be performed for the people being tortured. So as I mentioned previously, no matter how often Father Rodriguez prayed, God was silent. But we're going to watch a little movie clip because it's a three-hour movie. We can't watch the whole thing. But in the following scene, they bring him out to step on this fumi. The five people that you see in the background are wrapped up in sacks upside down, and they're being tortured for hours, even days, upside down over this like pit of human excrement that they had to dig themselves. And they each have a cut behind their ear, because what they would do is they would bleed them to death one drop at a time. That's how this torture was done. But I want you to watch this movie clip. And why have I given this message? Because I believe that life is full of gray areas, like what this Father Rodriguez had to deal with. I believe it's important that we recognize that even our faith can become a source of pride, and it can get in the way of loving other people. It can be more about ourselves than about Jesus. Jesus said, "Step on me." Finally breaks his silence. Says, I mean, at least according to the movie, that the love for these people are more important than what this priest is going to look like or how this priest feels about his own faith. We often worry more about what we look like in the sight of other people, even while others are suffering in pain. I wonder if my family was being tortured again, wouldn't the most Christian thing to do be to renounce my faith in Jesus in order to save them and then spend the rest of my life repenting of that sin? I mean, I kind of think so. If we're always seeking to be perfect or to look perfect, we miss the power of God's forgiveness. God isn't looking for perfect people. He wants sinners who need saving. Martin Luther argued that we should sin boldly and believe in God's forgiveness more boldly still. If you have to compromise your reputation of faith for the sake of loving another human being, love them first and trust God's love and compassion to see you through. So I was trying to think of the best example I had of this. I'm sure it'll be a little controversial, but I think it's really good. So there was a pastor that I knew that he was a very, very pro-life pastor, okay? We talked about it all the time. And he told me a story, and he was a little reticent to tell me. I could tell. He was a little embarrassed. One time, there was a family driving through by his church, mom and dad and their five little kids, and they got in a car accident, a really bad car accident, and the mom had been taken to the hospital, and that's why this pastor was called in. And they were driving through on their way west. They're moving to another place. Like the truck's gone in front of them, and they're just following behind in the car. And this mom is pregnant, and she has these five little kids. And the doctors say, "I don't think we can save her. Like, we can't save her and save the child at the same time. What do you want us to do, Dad? Do we try to save mom first, or would you try to save the baby first? What do we do?" And of course, this guy too, this pastor friend of mine, and this man, this husband, this father, very much pro-life. They did not believe in abortion. They did not think it was a good thing to do. So they didn't know what to do, though, because they were moving. They're five little kids. What do I do? There's nothing we can say for sure. We can try to save your wife first, or we can try to save the baby first, but the doctor said, not likely that both of them are going to survive, so which one do we do? And my pastor friend told me, he talked with this, and they did a lot of praying and a lot of talking, and they both decided to try to save the mom first, and she did survive, and the baby died. Why do you think he was so guilty about telling me this story? Because to me, he seemed to be trying to do the most loving thing. He wasn't sure, you know? He was trying to do the most loving thing, but he still wondered, was it? Was it the right thing? I don't know. Some of you might think, what kind of a pro-life pastor would encourage someone to save the mom first and let the baby die? That's how he felt too. He wasn't quite sure. But that's sort of what our life is like a lot of times. We don't know what the right thing is to do. And I felt bad for this pastor because he was worried about how I would look to him, you know, his reputation, how I would think of him from that point on, I guess, because he felt guilty about it. I just saw a man that was trying to do his best to love this family, to make sure that they were going to be okay where they were moving to and make sure this family continued to have a mom. The movie maintains, and I think rightly, that sometimes our faith, our values can get in the way of our love, which that's sort of the opposite of what God calls us to do. Just like that woman I talked about in the children's message that was worried about what I'd think of her because she missed church, because she was doing something kind for somebody else. We are called to love one another. This priest in the movie, in the book, he could not save the people of Japan just because of not renouncing his faith. He was worried, and maybe rightly so, that when he steps on that picture, that all the people that he converted might give up their faith. Maybe they did. This is a true story. Maybe that was the wrong decision. I don't know. But the priest needed to trust in God's forgiveness as much as anybody else that he was talking to Jesus or talking to them about Jesus. He had to love them as best he could and trust God to forgive him. And I think this is true for all of us. We all doubt sometimes. We all reject God's clear word for us, and sometimes we put our trust in other things rather than Jesus. But when we trust in him, we find a loving and a forgiving God. He knows our pain, and he is willing to be stepped on for our sake. He is willing to be stepped on for the sake of others. He is willing to be stepped on for the sake of the world. So you're going to be in gray areas in your life where you're not going to know what the right answer is. And you're going to feel like your faith is being torn between being faithful to God or following God's commands to love other people. I don't think anybody has the perfect answer for you. But I do believe that loving somebody else and trusting in God's forgiveness, even when we are weak or unsure about what to do, is the right course of action. To choose love, to follow God's will, rather than to look like a perfect Christian. So I encourage all of you this week to think, are there areas where you are putting your faith up against loving other people, and to truly seek to act in the most loving way and trust God to deal with all the gray areas, all the little things that you can't control and that you don't know. Amen.